Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the New Testament book of Luke. And last week I began a series on temptation, developing a proper understanding, because if there is anything that you and I as Christians need to understand, you need to understand about temptation. You need to understand the reality of them. You need to understand what's going to take place. Now, for every one of us that's saved by the grace of God, you know your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life because you know you invited Christ into your heart. Do you remember that day when you gave your heart to Jesus Christ? You remember that time you invited Christ into your life, and it was a different world. And maybe you thought, man, there is no life like this life, and you're exactly right. But then, just shortly after that, did you notice that maybe some thoughts started creeping into your mind and you start saying, what in the world is going on? I thought I was saved. I thought I didn't have those thoughts in my mind. Why in the world am I still having thoughts that I don't want that thought in my mind? Why do I still have that thought or those thoughts that go through my mind? And you're not the only one that asked those questions. There's countless thousands and millions of believers that have asked the question whenever it comes to temptation. And that's why you and I need to know the truth whenever it comes to the temptations we face in life. Because you're going to have them. You're going to have them all through life. And, some people say, well, you know, I may as well not try to fight temptation because, after all, you know, I'm going to fall anyway, so why fight? Well, there's a real serious reason why you need to fight. Number one is you reap what you sow. In other words, sometimes people will say, well, I'll just ask God to forgive me, and that settles it, and that makes everything okay, doesn't it? No, it doesn't, because here's the reality of Scripture. Whatever you sow, that you will have to reap. That thing that you do participate in, and there's a lot of people who say, well, I know I did that. I've asked God to forgive me. Now what? Well, you have to live with the reality that their consequences never die. That's why it is important for you and me to understand whenever it comes to the reality of temptation. You need to understand what the Bible has to say, and you need to understand the truth. One of the things that Satan will launch at your mind and my mind is this. Well, you know, I can do with you whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want. You know, I'm going to bombard you, and you don't have any say-so. Well, that is a lie straight out of hell. There is no truth about that statement. But Satan will get you to think whatever he can so he can defeat you. So if you would take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. It's the night of Jesus is celebrating the Passover with the disciples, and he is going to soon be betrayed. Peter is going to deny him, and Jesus is going to go to the cross, and he's going to die on the cross for your sins and mine and for those who will believe, all the world. And in the midst of the Gospel of Luke chapter 22, there is a phrase, there are two passages I want you to look at in verse 31 and 32, because Jesus knows what Satan wants to do in the life of Simon Peter. Satan is working in the life of Simon, and you remember Simon denies Jesus on three separate occasions. Before the cock crows, he denies him. But Jesus says this to Peter in preparation and letting Peter know that he knows what's getting ready to happen in his life. And the Bible says these words, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brothers." I want you to look specifically at verse 31. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Now, in that one passage of Scripture, here's what Jesus is saying to Peter. He said, "Peter, I want you to know that I know that there are some temptations that are about ready to come by your life, and you're going to be tempted to deny me." Now, you and I know that Peter did not pass the test. But why is this one passage so significant as you and I develop a proper understanding whenever it comes to temptation? Because we need to have an awareness that God already knows what we're going to face. So if you have your outline out, I want you to get your outline out and follow along and put it beside your Bible, because here's something that you need to understand as we grow in a proper understanding of temptation. First and foremost, whenever you're tempted, now, if I ask you, have you been tempted this week? What are your temptations? Every one of us would have different sets and different avenues. They're all geared toward your area of weakness. You have an area of weakness. You have an area of weakness. You have an area of weakness. God knows what your area of weakness is, but here's the reality. Satan knows what your area of weakness is as well, because he's been working on mankind ever since Adam, and that's been probably about 5,000 to 6,000 years ago. But when you look at this one passage of Scripture, when you read Luke 22, 31, and 32, there is one powerful, unmistakable truth, and it's this. Before you and I face any temptation of any size, any type, any color, any shape, whatever it is, God wants us to know that He already knew that it was coming. See, it didn't matter what Peter was getting ready to face. Here's what Jesus said even before Peter faced it. Simon, I want you to know that Satan has already asked permission of me to sift you, and he wants to sift you like wheat. In other words, he wants to come to your life, and he has a yearning to destroy you. He has a yearning to do you in. And when Jesus spoke to Peter and this passage right here, he told Peter clearly and candidly that Satan wants you. Satan wants to do you in. He's wanting to tempt you. He's wanting to do everything he can. And Jesus said, Peter, I already know it. Now, why is that so significant in the area and in the realm of temptation? You need to get it seriously in your mind that the temptations that come by your life, it doesn't matter what they are, doesn't matter what venue they come from, that the Lord God Almighty already knows all about the temptations that Satan is going to launch into your mind. You see, some people sort of do it like this. Well, Law, if God knew what went through my mind, if God knew what attacked my mind, listen, you cannot even be attacked without God giving His permissive will, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But here's what Jesus wanted to get into Peter's heart. Peter, Satan has come to me, and he's asked, in essence, permission to sift you. And so what Jesus is saying, Peter, I want you to know when that time comes in your life, and as Peter walked and he realized and was in the midst of temptation, don't forget, Peter, I have already prayed for you. Now, you remember that he was put in three situations where individuals asked him, you've had fellowship with this man named Jesus Christ. Well, what was the temptation? The temptation was to deny his association with Jesus, to deny that he knew him, and he failed the test. Second time he failed the test. The third time he failed the test. And you know what he did? The Bible says that he left. And as he left, he started cursing and just probably grieving in his heart. What have I done? What have I done? My life is over. I can never be restored tomorrow because I've yielded to temptation. Can I tell you this? That is one of Satan's most powerful lies that he does to believers all over the world. He says, your life is over. There is no sense. I mean, and there are honestly people at home honestly believing, my life is over. I have done this. I have done that. And I may as well call it quits, because God can't forgive me of this, and God can't forgive me of that, and God can't forgive me of the other. Can I tell you this? He already knew whatever temptations you were going to have. He already knew where they were going to come from. And God don't tempt us, and the Bible says God can't be tempted, neither does he tempt anyone. But the reality of it is, he knows, and all temptations come to us only by God's permissive will. In other words, Jesus didn't tempt Peter, but what happened is Jesus allowed Satan to tempt Peter. He allowed Satan to do what, and Satan found out that he couldn't handle it. So how does that translate into our life and into our culture and into our world? There are so many of you who are tempted in so many areas. One of the areas that Satan uses is sex. One of the areas that he uses, I mean, he just uses sex, 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 sex. That's just the big thing today. And I'll share in just a moment why he uses that. But there is a reality, and he's not just starting with this culture. Sometimes we say, you know what? It just seems like in this day and time. No, he's used it all the way since the beginning of time. Because you remember in Sodom and Gomorrah, what was theirs? You know, they went from natural affection to unnatural affection, and God finally destroyed the city because, you know, men with men, women with women, and God had had enough, and he destroyed the city. In other words, you know, just that yielding to those sexual temptations and that lust. And you see, the truth is, when you realize, you mean that the Lord Jesus knows that Satan is going to tempt me? Yes. And when you realize that, there's a great comfort that you're not in that temptation all by yourself. You're not in any temptation without the help and the hand of a holy God. As a matter of fact, I shared with you last week, and you know, one of the things that, you know, God wants us to understand, there's no temptation taking you but what is common. In other words, if you're tempted in the sexual arena, that's common to mankind. If you're tempted in the financial arena, maybe to take some money, there's a lot of people that are tempted with dishonesty. Maybe do something that maybe nobody finds out about. They're tempted to do something underhanded. They're tempted to maybe take something that doesn't right belong to them, and they yield to that temptation. Does the Lord know about it? Yes. Now, the issue is, do you trust God? Are you going to depend upon God? And you see, what Peter realized was this. At the end of this temptation, he could remember that Jesus had already told him. He had already told him, Peter, Satan has already asked to sift you as wheat. At the end of your temptation, whatever temptation you face, you need to be reminded your heavenly Father already knew it was on its way and it was coming. It was coming down the pike, whether it's some type of financial, emotional, sexual temptation. God already knows about it. Why? Why does God know about every temptation? Well, let me ask you this. Is there anything that God does not know? God is all-knowing, and he knows everything about my life. Now, does that say that God tempts? Again, God, the Bible says God doesn't tempt, neither tempts he any person. But he knows they're going to come. And you see, the fact that Satan asked permission of God to tempt Peter gives us a clear understanding that Satan's got to get permission to tempt us. Did you get it? You know, Satan hath asked. I want you to look back at the passage of Scripture. I want you to notice. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have thee. In other words, it's a picture of Satan coming to the Lord Jesus. He's come to me. He's desiring you. Do you realize before you're tempted, Satan has to get permission from the Lord Jesus to tempt you? He has to go to the Father before he could tempt you. Satan cannot just come into your life and blow you off target. Sometimes we have this idea, well, you know, if I could just get God's help. Listen, you not only have God's help, there is no temptation that hits your life, but what God has to first give his permissive will. And you think of the life of Job for a moment. You know, Satan went to God and said, does Job fear you for nothing? In other words, God, there's something, you know, he's getting out of this for fearing you. He said, all right, I'll let you touch him. In other words, God gave permission. And here's what you and I need to understand. Everything that we go through, you say, well, I've had some hideous thoughts. I've had some horrible thoughts. I've had some ungodly thoughts. There has to be that permissive allowance by a holy God. Now, here's a problem that we do face. We are fallen beings, and the Bible says that we're easily tempted and we're easily led astray. Why? Because you're a fallen creation. There's not a one of us perfect, is there? Not a one of us. And one of our little children said a few weeks ago when I asked that same question, he said, nope. You know, and absolutely right. There's none of us that are perfect. But here's what Jesus wants you to know. Don't allow the devil to blindside you by thinking God is not interested or unconcerned in your time of temptation. You see, if he can do that, then he can get you to believe, well, God's nowhere around. God's nowhere to be found. That is absolutely a lie. It's absolutely straight out of the pit of hell. And when Jesus spoke to Peter, he said, Simon. In other words, Simon, I'm calling you by name. I know it's coming. Simon, I know what's coming into your life. And you can reverse that around and say, Biddy, I want you to know I'm your Lord. I know what's coming down the pike of your life. You can take your name and say, Byron, I know what's coming down the pike of your life, or Heather, or Justin, or Josh, or put your name in there. I know what's coming down the pike of your life because it can't happen unless I permissively allow it. Now you say, now wait just a minute, then why do I fall? Well, that's going to be another message. We'll deal with that in just a little bit later. But here's the point at this message. There is no temptation that hits you but what God has to permissively allow. Think about it. If Satan could do things to you just whenever he wanted to, why don't he kill you? Why don't he blow your life up? You say, well, I know some people that he's blown their life up. Their lives haven't been blown up because of troubles, trials, temptations. Their lives have been blown up because they've not anchored themselves in the Word of God. And you see, that's exactly what Jesus is reminding Peter of. And so all temptations come to us. Now you say, well, you know, why do trials and temptations do come? Why do they come into my life? Why? Well, number one, we're fallen beings, first of all. Our human nature is a reality. You're not perfect yet. You've not arrived. So we're going to face, we live in a fallen world. There's demons. If you and I could see into the invisible worlds, you would see demons on this earth. You'd say, Pastor, do you believe in demons? Absolutely. Bible teaches them. Because number one, a demon never dies. They're ageless. They're eternal. So all the demons that were alive on the face of the earth when Jesus was here, they're still around, folks. Because I don't know of the Bible's never told of a funeral of a demon. Why? Because they're eternal beings. They're fallen angels. Now, they don't have all power. You don't need to think they do have all power. But the Bible makes it very clear. And so, you know, and some of the reasons that we face temptation and is simply this. Because, as I just mentioned, there's a real devil. And we live in a fallen world. And we need the hand of God to withstand. Listen, when you're facing some mental missile, some hellish missile, don't you realize in that moment, Lord God, I can't handle this thing by myself. Now, down the road in just a few weeks, I'm going to tell you how to handle the temptations and how to deal with them immediately. I'll give you some clue in just a little bit. But here's what you need to understand. They teach you that you can't depend on yourself. You don't have the strength in the flesh. There's no strength you have to stand against the devil and all of his darts and daggers and all of that. And, so you and I need to understand they come at God's permissive will. You know, again, Paul said, there is no temptation taking you but such as is, I love that next word, common. In other words, if you start saying, Lord, I'm the only person that's thought this thought. No, you're not. That's a lie from the devil. I'm the only person that's had some type of sexual temptation. No, you're not. I'm the only person that's had this type of lustful thought. No, you're not. I'm the only person that's had this financial temptation. No, you're not. And you see, what you need to understand is you're in good company. The whole world of Christianity. Listen, Satan can't stand Christians because we reflect who? What does our name stand for? Christ. He can't stand Christ. He can't stand the Lord Jesus. And he hates little Christians walking around. Miniature Christ. And that's what the word Christian means. You're a miniature replica of Jesus Christ. And you ought to look like Christ. And he can't. And so that's why he tries to get you defeated. Why he tries to destroy your life. But second of all temptations are sifted through the mind of God before they come to us. Now, not only through the permissive will, but through the mind of God. Now, again, when you examine carefully the temptation of Peter, here's what you find out. You look at Peter, you look at Job, you look at others, you look at Joseph in the Old Testament. Before the temptations hit their lives, God sifted the temptation first. In other words, you go all the way back and you look at Job, and Job, in essence, Satan had a conference with God, and God, you know, lowered the gate, so to speak, said, all right, Satan, I'll give you permission. In other words, Satan cannot touch you without God's permissive allowance and it being sifted through the mind of God. And, does that mean that God tempts us again? Absolutely not. He can't tempt us. The Bible says he doesn't tempt anyone. And so, you know, that's why you need to be careful when you're thinking, you know, you're facing a temptation. Let's say you're just minding your own business. You're sitting in a church service. Don't you answer this question out loud. Have you ever been tempted right while you're listening to the message? Don't you answer that. Because the devil is alive and well even during church time. Amen? He's doing everything he can. He can't stand you to hear the message. He can't stand you to absorb the message. So what does he do? He gives your mind a million things to think about. For example, have you ever sat in church and all of a sudden you realized that it was the benediction and you didn't realize you heard any of the message because you'd already thought through the entire day? You say, well, I don't do that any other place than church. Why do you do that in church? I can tell you why you do that in church. Satan don't want you to hear the word. Because when you hear the word, here's what Jesus said. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Satan don't want you free. He don't want you realizing that. Now, don't you believe that junk about temptation. Don't you listen. So let me just put you to sleep during the morning message. And you wake up during the invitation or the benediction. And like one man in church one time, you know, he'd gone to sleep, and I think they was having a business meeting at the end of the service, and preacher said, "All in favor, stand up." And he just said, "All in favor, stand up." That's all he heard. But what he didn't hear was, "How many of you want to die without Christ? Stand up." And as that man stood up, he saw the standing up preacher, and he said, "Preacher, looks like you and me all in favor of what we're voting on." Why does Satan attack you? Because he don't want you free. He wants you to be locked up. And one of the areas that he so strangles Christians, I can tell you this in my own life, is in the area of temptation. He lays guilt in your mind. And then you, all of a sudden you realize that I didn't want that thought in my mind. I didn't want that thing in my mind. I didn't want that notion in my mind. And the truth about it is, if you don't want it, and you have to do something to create a sin, there has to be some type of enticement that you take hold of. And so, you know, here's what you and I have to understand. All temptations are sifted through the mind of God. You know, and, you know, Jesus said, "Peter, Satan desires you." But here's what he says. "I've prayed for you." In other words, "I've not given up on you." Now get this. Did Jesus know Peter was going to fall when it came to temptation? If he did, say yes. Did God forget? Did Jesus forgive? Give up on him when he fell in temptation? Did he give up on him? No. Listen carefully. Does Jesus know when you're going to fall in temptation? Yes, he does. Does he give up on you when you fall into temptation? Absolutely not. It's sort of like a little child. You know, we had a chance of just enjoying our granddaughter yesterday, and she can't crawl yet. Bless her heart, she's trying, though. You know, she's trying. But once your child learns to crawl, what do you expect them to do? Well, you expect them to take off running and compete in a marathon. No. They're going to stand up, they're going to fall down. They're going to stand up, and they're going to fall down. They're going to stand up. And that's what Jesus knows about your life and mine. He knows, listen, maybe you've been saved for just a short time, maybe a few months, maybe a few years, and you say to yourself, "Why do I keep falling?" Because you're desiring to walk right. Think about it. That little child that's wanting to make progress falls down. They don't fall down if they're not trying. And sometimes you look at your life and say, "I just keep falling down so much." That's because you're trying, you're desiring to grow, you're wanting to grow, and you need to listen to the words of your Lord. "I don't give up on you." Listen, you're so impatient with yourself. "I'm not impatient with you. I know you. I love you. I care about you." And so just rest and relax and depend on me when it comes time to those temptations. And you see, the reality is, does Satan use sexual temptation? Yes, he does. I want you to turn to a passage of Scripture because I want you to understand 2,000 years ago, Satan used sexual temptation. He used it on men back then, women back then. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Because Paul is talking to the early church at Corinth, and he is reminding them that you're facing sexual temptation. Listen, for thousands of years, mankind has faced sexual temptation. And listen to what Paul says. "Flee fornication." In other words, flee sexual enticements. "Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body." Why does Satan entice in sexually? Because that is the most dangerous, deadly, damaging, and damning sin when it comes to your body. Now, somebody will say, "Well, can that be forgiven?" Yes, it can be forgiven. But the Bible says in Proverbs, listen carefully, the person who does that is never the same again. Did you get that? That person who gives in to sexual temptation, because there is something about that sin that person is never the same again. Yes, they can receive the forgiveness of God, but a lot of times they just beat themselves over the head and they can't forgive themselves, won't forgive themselves, and they just, and something happens. And sometimes, you know, participating in that type of sin brings an unplanned pregnancy into the world, an unplanned child into the world, and all of a sudden here's a person's life that's changed, and all because a little yielding to the flesh, a little pleasure for a season, because the Bible says there's pleasure in sin. That's what the Bible says. There's pleasure. Why do people commit sin every day? Because the Bible says there's pleasure in sin. Do you know the rest of the verse? For a season. In other words, here today, gone today. In other words, the consequences far outweigh that temporary, momentary joy. And you see, here's what happens. God plans for us to have lives of intimacy and love and that oneness with that person God brings by our life, that husband or wife that God brings by your life. And He plans for that. But here's what He knows. Because He's created us, that destroys us. It destroys our peace and our happiness and that fellowship. And it destroys a home. That's why, you know, we live in a world where people say, well, you know, everything's relative. No, everything is not relative. Because there is one person that runs the world, and that's Holy God. Amen? And His Word is still in effect. And what He reminds you and me of is this. I know you're going to be tempted. I know that Satan's going to tempt you. But don't you dare believe you can be tempted without my permission. Don't you dare think that you can be mentally attacked without my permissive will. Now, you don't need to put yourself in situations. That's why you need to watch good movies. If you're watching a movie, you need to watch decent movies. You don't need to put stuff in your mind that is indecent. Why? Because Satan uses every venue, and all those venues are, you know, he launches at our mind. And so, you know, Paul says to these saints, he said, ever sin is outside of the body. But when you hurt this body, there is a hurt that will go with you to death. There is something about that that lingers forever. I've been around long enough and talked to enough people, and I've heard them say, I know God has forgiven me, and you know the very next word, but. And then they tell me their scenario. They tell me what happened. And the only thing sometimes I can do is just cry with them, because there are consequences. But here's what Jesus said. I want you to know that I'm there. When you're sexually attacked, when you face us, I'm there. I can't leave you. I can't forsake you. And so Jesus said, I want you to get that in your mind. I can't abandon you. Peter, now, I prayed for you, Peter. Now, get this. Now, listen carefully. Let's get real inside that temptation. Did Jesus know what Peter's wanting to do the first time? Yes. The second time? Yes. The third time? Yes. Did he know that he was going to run away? Cursing. I can just matter Jesus just looking at Peter with a very serious look, maybe. And Peter looked at his Lord and realized, I've denied you. My life is over. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully before I get to the last principle. Don't you ever allow the devil to lead you to believe your life is over because you've yielded to some temptation. Are there consequences? Yes. There is always the forgiveness, the love, and the mercy of God. Well, number three, here's the reality. You and I need to know this. All temptation comes with an escape. Now, whenever you look at 1 Corinthians 10:13, it's so powerful, it's so wonderful, because here's what Paul says. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above. In other words, you can't be tempted beyond your breaking point. Above that you're able. But here's what he says. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Listen. He said, I want you to know every temptation, it comes with the faithfulness of God, the reality that God is right there. And he said, I want you to understand that here's the reality. Every temptation is escapable. Now listen to me very carefully. I want you to use all your God-given mind. If you could not escape a temptation, then God would have to be held accountable. Because, you see, here's the reality. You couldn't get out from under the temptation. Now, I know there's a lot of people who cop out and say, well, you know what? I just couldn't help myself. That's a lie straight out of hell. There's a lot of people who do all sorts of wicked and ungodly and vile things. And they say, well, you know, I just couldn't help my, you know, I was just in that situation. No, what you did is you chose to surrender. You chose to give up, you know, your fight against temptation. And there is a fight. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, flee youthful lust. Do you realize in the Old Testament, Potiphar's wife, let me show you what happened in the Old Testament. Don't have much time, but let me. Joseph, won't you go to bed with me? Nobody's around Joseph. You know, the Bible says Joseph was comely and well-favored in the King James Version. You know what that translates out as? He was handsome and good-looking. And Potiphar's wife, there's nobody around, she said, just go to bed with me. And Joseph said, how can I do this thing? Basically, in essence, when God is watching. You know what she did next? She lied on Joseph and said he tried to rape her. And then he got thrown into prison. Read it, it's there. And in the prison, he knew he hadn't done anything wrong. But here's the point. There are some people that are going to do everything they can. That's why you need to be very careful on your job. Men, that's why you need to be very careful on your job. There are some women that are in such miserable marriages that they want somebody else to show them attention and affection. And women likewise. There are some women that are in such terrible marriage, their husband don't show them any time, any appreciation, any affection. That, man, one kind word, they mistranslate that. You need to be on your guard. But here's what God does say. He said, I guarantee you, I promise you, on the oath of my word, you'll never be put in a temptation that is not escapable. Now, here's the problem. Some people don't look for the escapes. Some people just give in. There have been many stories, and time don't allow me to share, that I've had people who share that, how do I get out of this temptation? And I've given them some suggestions. Because some have been put in some pretty precarious situations. But here's what your father says, and here's what says. You're going to be tempted. Own up to that reality. Face that reality. Anchor your soul. I'm going to be tempted. Now, what's my defense? You know what Joseph did? He had to run away from Potiphar's wife. That's when she grabbed his coat. You remember the story? And she grabbed his coat, thought, now here's my next story. But he had to leave. Why? Because sometimes that's the best thing to do. Sometimes, young men, you need to leave a situation. And it may be that you need to quit working where you're working because you're going to mess up your life if you don't. Only God knows the stories of men and women who said, you know what, I shouldn't have done what I did, but, you know, she just kept sweet-talking to me and sweet-talking to me. Before I knew it, one thing led to another. No, one thing don't lead to another. You choose for something to lead to another. And here's what Paul said. He said, they're escapable. In other words, get out. Sometimes the best thing to do is, you say, well, I can't leave my job. Listen carefully. Do you know what Satan does? He wants us to discount the integrity of our life for a few dollars. My life, well, I've got to have a job. What do you want more, integrity in your life, or do you want a job? What do you need more? And you see, the thing about it is, he lies to us, and all of a sudden, and I've had people who've shared with me story after story, and they said, you know what, I didn't mean this to do this when my place of business. Pastor, how do I heal my life now? What do I do now? And you see, the reality of it is, Satan knows your area of weakness. And for many people, it's in the area of sensuality, it's in the area of sex, some it's in the area of finances, some it's in some other area. Sometimes, and the first thing you can do, now I want you to listen to me real carefully, because I know a lot of preachers that have fallen. Can I tell you the first thing and the most important thing you need to own up to and admit to yourself openly, honestly, and absolutely with the utmost of integrity? Allow yourself to admit to yourself, you know what? I am tempted. I'm tempted. Sometimes I've asked some people, do you fight? No, I don't face that tempted. No. Yeah, they do. But you know what they do? They deceive themselves. When you own up to something, then you allow yourself to build a defense. So what's the quickest and the best way to build a defense? Well, that's an entirely another message. We're going to get into that. But can I tell you one thing that is a prayer of mine that I pray regularly? Paul said on another occasion, he said, you take every thought captive. Now, does that mean that the things that go into your mind, you think, is that a good thought or a bad thought? Yes. Now you say, I've got a lot of thoughts going into my mind. It wears me out. Tell me about it. There was a time in my life that, and I can tell you when it was, where it was, and I hated to mow my yard with a passion. You say, well, no, you don't understand. When I was mowing my yard, it took me 2 hours. And you know, when you're mowing your yard, you're thinking and all that. For those 2 hours, Satan would attack, attack, attack. And I was worn out. I couldn't explain to my wife what was going on, but I knew this. Satan was trying to destroy my mind. He was trying to destroy, and he was just throwing thoughts. It's just like one. And finally, the Lord taught me, Benny, take that thought captive. And he taught me this simple yet most profound and powerful prayer. If that thought don't line up with Scripture, here's a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, get that thought out of my mind. That don't fit who I am in Jesus Christ. Did you hear me? Can you do that? You say, well, that's not a big statement. No, but I can tell you this. When all hell is barreling down on your mind, it's a powerful prayer. Let me teach it. Say it with me. Lord Jesus. Everybody. Lord Jesus. That thought does not fit who I am in Jesus Christ. Get it out right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, how many of you can remember it? Let's do it again. Am I serious? You better believe I'm serious. Because let me tell you why. Are you going to be the next one? 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 Or are you going to be the next one? That is found devastated and defeated by falling into temptation. Let's do it one more time. Lord Jesus, that thought does not fit who I am in Jesus Christ. Get it out right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm not going to make me a promise that Fred, you're, but I want to ask you and I want to encourage every one of you to use that prayer. Why? Because it works. Because here's what happened. As I started praying, wow. And I started, wow. Lord, that works. And he said, that's right. I know you're going to be tempted. I know you're going to face it. I know where they're going to come from, my son. I love you. I've not forgotten you. I'm always there. But see, the thing about it is we have not so many times because we don't ask. And you see, the truth about it is Satan loves to lie to us. That's who he is. You can't get those thoughts out of your mind, but you pray that prayer, and I tell you what, you're setting yourself up. You're setting yourself up for victory. You're setting yourself up for joy. You're setting yourself up, and you know what? You look back down at your life and think, man, what almost happened but didn't happen. And let me say this in closing before I have an invitation. Listen to that godly spouse that God's given you if you're married. God gives you that spouse for a reason, for a purpose. Now, some of your wives are hitting your husbands right about now. But ladies, would you not agree that women know women far better than men know women? Amen? You know what some woman is going to try to do and wheedle and needle and all that. Listen to your wife, because there's nobody that loves you and cares for you and will protect your life and will die for you, because she loves you. She cares for you. Back in my first pastorate, now I'll tell you something you won't tell anybody else, right? Back in my first pastorate, I was so naive. And there was one lady that always wanted to talk to me. And I just wanted to be a good pastor to her, and I really didn't have a clue. As God is my witness, I had no clue. And finally, my wife said, honey, do you realize she's wanting to talk to you a lot? And when she said that, she had to bring me along. You know what I'm talking about. Listen, I heard a wonderful servant of God say this. Satan don't care how long it takes to get you, as long as he can get you in the end. That's why we need to stand firm. We need to stand bold. And we need to own up. Father, thank you that you know all the areas I'm going to be tempted from now till death, and you're right there in the midst of them because you love me. Father, thank you so much for your grace, for your mercy, for your love, for your kindness. And Lord, you remind us that we're not abandoned in temptation. Father, you promised to always be with us. You promised to never leave us. You know all the temptations I'm going to face till death. There's nothing new to you. And you promised to be there right in the middle of them to empower your servant. And Father, the same is true for all of us. Lord, you know that Satan has been working on mankind, and If there's one thing he tries to do, he tries to disrupt the work of God in our lives through temptation and through those satanic agendas that he tries to level at us. But Father, thank you that you give us the victory. We have the victory in Christ Jesus. And Father, I pray for that person here this morning. They don't have victory because they're not a Christian. They don't have victory because they're not saved. And they're just barely making it through life. Oh, how you want to forgive them of their sins and write their name in the Lamb's Book of Life and give them a home in heaven if they'll simply believe you and trust you and turn to you and love you. And you'll give them the power to love you. Father, draw whom you would is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.